some shoes on my two bare feet. And it's getting kind of cold and he's painted on cut off jeans. I hate the way this bikini top chafes. Do I really have to wear it all day?
Yeah, baby.
I hear you over there on your tailgate whistling, saying, hey girl, but you know I ain't listening. 'Cause I got a name and to you it ain't. Shaking my money maker ain't never made me a dime. And there ain't no sugar for you in this shaker of mine. Tell me one more time, you gotta get you some of that. Sure, I'll slide on over, but you're gonna get slapped. Huh. These days it ain't easy being mad. Girl in a country song, how in the world did it go so wrong? Like I were good for. Never did it this way back in the old days. Oh, oh, we ain't a cliche. That ain't no way to treat a lady like a girl in a country song. How in the world did it go so wrong? Like I was good for is looking good for.
Here tonight, destination New Orleans. Boss man says my big promotion's on the line. He says that's right where I need to be. Lately I've been on the road more than I've been home. All this leaving her alone is killing me. Holding her right now has got me thinking more and more. This is right where I need to be. Where when I hear her, I can see her. I can smell her sweet perfume. I can feel her skin against me when I sleep. Where I won't miss her.
plane flying out of here tonight with an empty first class seat. 'Cause I finally got all my priorities in line. I'm right where I need to be.
Speaker to play WIRI.
Flame, agree, light it up when I hear you say my name. Yeah, you know just how to start. You shine, and I just can't wait to get you out tonight. Yeah, you know how bad I want it. You ride the Chevy like a Cadillac. Blow that one stop line, no looking back. Wherever we're going, gotta get there fast. I'm talking red hot whip kiss falling off your lips. I'm talking red hot red dress hanging on your lips. I'm talking back seat heartbeat pounding in my chest. I'm seeing red. I'm seeing red. Can't get you out of my head, girl. Can't get you out of my head. The way you color up my world, I'm seeing red. Down, we can get down someplace just outside of town. Bring a bottle if you wanna. That moon ain't gonna tell on me and you. Just say the word and we're gonna ride this Chevy like a Cadillac. Roll that one stop light, no looking back. Wherever we're going, gotta get there fast. I'm talking red hot wet kiss falling off your lips. I'm talking red hot red dress hanging on your lips. I'm talking back seat heartbeat pounding in my chest. I'm seeing red. I'm seeing red. Can't get you out of my head, girl. Can't get you out of my head. The way you color up my world, I'm seeing red.
Tulsa wind, seaside breeze will bring her to life. And all them other boys say she's a goodbye girl. She'll wreck your world and leave. leave before the morning sun. But here she is free, lying next to me. Cause I ain't trying to tame her love. I keep the windows down and the wind in her hair. Keep her heart hanging on round every turn. She ain't scared to get tied down, scared to get burned. Just looking for somebody as wild as her. Wild. Wild. Saw that highway and winding a deep brown eyes. She saw a long stretch of dirt road dreaming in my. Living like a rock and roll song, she sings out loud, burning it down, blazing up a trail of smoke. Wherever we are, wherever we go, yeah, that's where she calls home. I keep the windows down and the wind in her hair. Keep her heart hanging on round every turn. She ain't scared to get tied down, scared to get burned. Just looking for somebody as wild. If you were a little fire in her soul, don't be I say forever, but when we're together, I swear that we ain't ever letting go. Cause she knows I keep the windows down and the wind in her hair. Keep her heart hanging on round every turn. She ain't scared to get tied down, scared to get burned. Just looking for somebody as wild as her.
Dance floor all alone in the middle of an old school country song. Right when I heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
Not a soul in sight. The city's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. The raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving in. He's heading back from somewhere that he never should have been. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. Every light is burning in a house across town. She's pacing by the telephone in her faded flannel gown, asking for a miracle, hoping she's not right, praying it's the weather that's kept him out all night. And the thunder rolls. Thunder rolls. The thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows all out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls. Waiting by the window when he pulls into the drive. She rushes out to hold him, thankful he's alive. But all the wind and rain, a strange new perfume blows, and the lightning flashes in her eyes, and he knows that she knows. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows on out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder.
Driving home tonight, catching all red lights. That's alright, cause I don't wanna be alone. There's nobody waiting there, cold and empty bed. Words I wish I'd said, come on the radio. Ooh. And I don't know why I do this to myself.
Your grandma's shirt and
same bedroom where I once held you, and it's breaking my heart. I should take down all those pictures from my wall. Promises we made won't fill this empty space. Ooh. And I know I just can't let you go.
A sign there on your back says I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness. I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going. Slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire, walk right through it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there.
I am not okay. I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days and losing sleep at night. I am not okay. I'm hanging on the rails. So if I say I'm fine, just know I learned to hide it well. Not okay, but it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. I woke up today, I almost stayed in bed. Had the devil on my back and voices in my head. Some days it ain't all bad. Some days it all gets worse. Some days I swear I'm better off laying in that dirt. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life. But God knows, I know when it's all said. Not okay, but it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. I know one day we'll see the other side. The pain will wash away in a holy water tide, and we all gonna be alright. It's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. I'm not okay, but it's all gonna be alright.
Central Wisconsin's home for country favorites and classics.
Howdy, y'all. This is Dwight Yoakam.
Hi, Shania Twain here.
105.5 WIRI.
Cause when the night falls, you make me feel
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
The First Amendment, which embodies freedom of speech, is considered one of our nation's most cherished rights. But some say America is on the wrong track and the First Amendment goes too far. We'll have the story.
A lot of it involves uncertainty about what the scope of the First Amendment really looks like and what it means. And then I think also questions about who it applies to.
Then, more kids than ever are playing organized sports, but much of the growth seems to be among the privileged classes.
Playing organized sports became much more common among those of higher family socioeconomic status, in particular having a parent with a college education versus those who did not.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this edition of InfoTrack. Stay with us. The show begins right after this.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Getting ready for more rain and longer nights? We've got you. Right now, you can earn up to $25 in bonus rewards when you buy two Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and two Rain-X Quantum Elite Wiper Blades. More rewards and better visibility at America's number one lighting destination, AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Offer valid for AutoZone Rewards members. Restrictions apply.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Order for Jennifer C.
Is this my double shot, double cream, double froth, double pump, double hot, double whip, double sleeve?
Yeah. Can you handle that much caffeine?
Hey, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Well, I do now.
Seriously, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, you just said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
Did you say you're cutting me off?
You earn, we match. Unlimited cash back match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Can the First Amendment be used to prohibit hate speech and misinformation? Or does it allow anyone to say anything? It's an ongoing debate. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Keith Whittington is an expert on the U.S. Constitution and is the David Boies Professor at Yale Law School. Professor, in a recent poll, 69% of Americans said they believe the country is on the wrong track in regards to free speech. And 31%, including similar numbers from both political parties, think the First Amendment, quote, goes too far, unquote. What are the most common misconceptions Americans have about the First Amendment today?
Well, a lot of it involves uncertainty about what the scope of the First Amendment really looks like and what it means. And then I think also questions about who it applies to. So when we think about the scope of the First Amendment, you frequently hear now these claims that hate speech, for example, is not free speech, which in many European countries is true, that they don't recognize a free speech protection for things that they categorize as hate speech. That's not true in the United States. In the United States, things that are frequently referred to as hate speech are fully protected by the First Amendment. And at the same time, the First Amendment is not absolute. Threats to other individuals, actual incitement to violence, defamatory speech is all unprotected by the First Amendment. And then there's also questions about who the First Amendment applies to. And in the current context, a lot of people's engagement with the public and speech activities occurs through social media. And of course, social media mostly involves private companies. And private companies can set their own terms and rules about what kind of speech they want to allow on their platforms. That's not true for the government. We tie the hands of the government about what kinds of restrictions on speech they can impose, but we don't tie the hands of social media companies about what kind of speech they can allow on platforms. And so there's something of a disconnect as well for average members of the public about, well, what am I allowed to say in public on a public street, for example, and what am I allowed to say in public in the sense that I say it on a social media platform?
We hear the term misinformation quite often. Can misinformation be prohibited under the First Amendment?
Generally speaking, misinformation is protected. There are some very narrow categories where it might not be. And so this is something that was more of a heated point of discussion in the course of the 20th century. And eventually the court came around to the view that if you empowered the government to suppress what it characterized as misinformation, you would wind up empowering the government to suppress an awful lot of contested political speech. The government would have a self-interest in characterizing things as misinformation that it thought damaging to the government or to government officials and the like, and would tend to suppress it. And so it became seen as crucial that the First Amendment protect so-called misinformation precisely because you couldn't trust government officials to make those decisions about what counted as misinformation and what did not. And so, generally speaking, you're allowed to say wrong things in public. You're allowed to say things that you even know are false things in public without worrying that the government's going to punish you for having said those false things.
Professor, we've talked about the fact that the government can't directly suppress speech, but is it permissible for government officials to pressure private companies like social media companies to censor speech?
So it is a real puzzle as to how to think about government pressure. The court is concerned not only in this context, but in other contexts, that the government not be able to do things indirectly that it's not allowed to do directly. And so if the government can't censor speech through its own regulatory behavior, for example, we also do not want the government to put pressure on others to censor the speech on the government's behalf. The real difficult question in practice comes with what counts as pressure and when are you really compelling some third party, for example, a social media company, to engage in the censorship that you are not allowed to engage in yourself. The challenge as a practical matter is how do you tell the difference between the government trying to persuade a third party not to do something and the government strong-arming a third party into doing something? And that's not an easy thing to know in lots of circumstances.
We're talking with Professor Keith Whittington from Yale Law School, and we're discussing the state of freedom of speech in America today. Professor, what are your thoughts on the state of civics education today and how that perhaps influences younger people's views of that freedom of speech right?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we give enough attention to civics education. We don't spend enough time and energy on it in schools, and we could certainly do more. And as a consequence, I think people emerge out of schools not as well educated as they should be about core principles behind our governments, about basic questions about how the government operates and the like. And we could be doing a much better job of trying to explain that to students at an earlier age so that when they grow up, become full-fledged citizens and are participating in government and participating in the democratic process, they have a better understanding of these things. And among the things we need to be educating them carefully about are First Amendment and free speech principles, both in terms of what First Amendment doctrine actually looks like and what you have a right to do and what do you not have a right to do under the First Amendment. I think we also need to be, as part of that process, explaining why the First Amendment doctrine looks the way it does. Why do we protect this kind of speech? And why do we not protect other kinds of speech? That is part of how you have well-informed citizens who are capable of making better decisions in a democracy. And so we need to be starting that at an early age and try to put people on the right track as they think about those issues. But I think we have not spent enough time on those. We've reduced the amount of time we dedicate to civics education, and we really probably don't explore these issues with the kind of depth and care in schools that we really ought to.
So a final thought on striking the balance. How do we protect vulnerable people and counter false information while protecting people's right to free speech?
Well, we've made a very basic bet in a free society that we are better off as a society in the long term if we provide very robust protections for speech, including all kinds of speech that is sometimes genuinely harmful. And so we shouldn't pretend that there's not some trade-offs involved, and we shouldn't pretend that there aren't sometimes harms to allowing particular examples of speech to take place. The question is, are we better off tolerating those kinds of problems with a free speech environment, or would we be better off trying to suppress speech under those circumstances? And I think we should be clear-eyed that we are making trade-offs, but at the same time, I think we should appreciate the fact that if we empower government officials to be able to make those decisions, that some kind of speech that is offensive or that some people find too harmful can be suppressed, that's going to lead to a lot of speech suppression. And moreover, the people who are going to be targets of that speech suppression are precisely often the marginalized populations that we otherwise say we're concerned about. It's the people without a lot of political power who are going to find themselves in the crosshairs of a government that is empowered to suppress speech that people regard as controversial or dangerous. And so I think in the long run, the best way of protecting marginalized populations within a free society is precisely to insist that we're going to have very robust protections on free speech that everyone can take advantage of and engage in. And we're not going to trust government officials to be able to pick and choose which kinds of speech they approve of and which kinds of speech they disapprove.
Professor Keith Whittington from Yale Law School, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, are organized sports mostly for upper-class kids? That story, coming up.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, sounds like wipers. If your wipers are streaking, skipping, chattering, or even worse, loud, you need to visit AutoZone and get some fresh new blades. We've got basic wipers to get you back on the road, as well as premium blades from Bosch and Rain-X. So if you're hearing this, just head to your nearest AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Did you know that Wendy's has any size soft drinks for just a buck? Yeah, any size, anytime. Like a dollar Coke, dollar Sprite, or even a dollar strawberry Fanta. Okay, could we like maybe switch up the sound effect, please? Because I'm losing it. Wow, no, not that. Any size soft drink for just a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. A la carte only. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
A major U.S. study of youth sports participation over six decades noted a significant increase in kids playing organized sports, especially among more privileged, educated families. Joining us to discuss this study is Chris Knuster, professor of sociology at The Ohio State University and lead author of the study. Professor, what inspired this sweeping study of U.S. sports participation among the young over the past 60 years?
Well, as a parent, the way that young people were taking part in sports these days are remarkably different than what many of us grew up with generations ago. And so we had the opportunity to collect some unique information, data from 4,000 adults spanning from being born in the 1950s through the 1990s, and trace their experiences with youth sports.
How have class differences in sports participation evolved from the 50s to the 90s?
Well, we saw a couple of patterns of note that pertain to that. First, there's just been a general generational shift from about roughly 50% of all youth participating in organized sport at some time while growing up to about 70% participating. So much more common today and an integral part of youth experiences. But to your inquiry, one of the more dramatic shifts within that broad generational change is that playing organized sports became much more common among those of higher family socioeconomic status. In particular, having a parent with a college education versus having no parent with a college education is a major determining factor. So in the 1960s, you know, for those folks who were born in the 1950s, we didn't really see social class differences to speak of. But now, what has transpired in the 21st century, even with the folks born in the 1990s, there's about a 24 percentage point difference between those who had a college-educated parent versus those who did not.
Your study mentions increased privatization of youth sports. Can you explain what that means and how it affects participation?
What seems to be going on as part of the social class divergence, and particularly a boost in playing amongst those with college-educated and wealthier parents, is that those parents have really taken on what seem to be cultural expectations and pressures for intensive parenting, doing more and more for their kids. So that's a lost opportunity if you're not investing in those kids' opportunities for growth, whether it's, you know, mental growth or physical growth. Youth sports is thought of as a particularly useful developmental experience for kids. And so having the opportunities of time, of being able to handle transportation, be able to seek out preferable opportunities are all linked to family socioeconomic status. And of course, most obviously to the question about privatization is that the costs of youth sports have particularly become a greater barrier for people who are looking for what is thought to be the preferred expert-oriented training opportunities. And we've seen a big growth of that in the landscape of youth sports, and particularly well-educated and wealthier parents have sought those out.
Professor, there was a previous study that showed kids dropping out of sports because they weren't having fun. Do you think this issue's gotten worse for recent generations?
Absolutely, and that's something that our study speaks to as well. Amongst the folks that played organized sports, we find evidence that approximately two-thirds of them now drop out, which is actually an increase from what we've seen 50 plus years ago, too. So part of the story of the growth in exposure to organized youth sports is that we haven't really seen much change, certainly not increase. In fact, there's some evidence from our study of some decrease in the percentage of kids who continually play organized youth sports. That is, from the time they start till they hit the age of 18. Instead, what has accompanied that growth in exposure to organized youth sports is an increase then of the folks who start to play but then drop out. And so we provide some of the best evidence of what people have expressed as a major alarm in how we're doing youth sports. That is, people don't seem to stick with it.
Now, the study indicates that youth sports has perhaps become more about getting ahead in life rather than just enjoyment. How do you view that shift?
Yeah, so absolutely. I think that speaks to why we've seen these emergent socioeconomic status differences. In part, organized youth sport is seen as an investment in many ways in a child's future, whether it's, you know, the potential of the scholarship opportunities or playing at a high level of sport, whether it's building one's resume, whether it's health and well-being outcomes or other social development benefits of interacting with other people. And so largely what we've seen there is a focus on investing in kids. And the broader context of that, too, is that organized youth sports has become a much more competitive and status-focused landscape. And so in that realm, we've had parents get particularly involved and overinvested in what happens. We've had kids who express, you know, really a lot of stress and worry about being in situations where they feel like they're under too much pressure, or they'd rather not be there, but feel like because of the investments, that's part of what's expected of them. And I think that environment that is less focused on nurturing fun and social relationships and more focused on status and particularly athletic growth and development is part of the story here, where we're seeing, you know, roughly 70% of youth dropping out of organized sports.
Our guest is Chris Knuster, who's professor of sociology at The Ohio State University and lead author of this study we're discussing about youth sports participation over six decades. You touched on the financial side of this equation, and I have here a statistic that the average family spends $883 annually for one child's primary sport. This has got to affect low-income families in a dramatic way, I would think.
Absolutely. And I would say that's certainly a pretty remarkable statistic, but it's also important to recognize that that's an average statistic. Part of our related research that we've been tracing here is not only the rise of organized youth sports, but particularly, you know, what's known as travel or club sports. And, you know, it's not uncommon for those to be 3 to 10 times the annual price point that you mentioned.
Wow.
And so in this context, of course, it's an enormous investment, an enormous barrier to many families to put forth the fees and related expenses that particularly privatized organized youth sports require these days.
Is this something where a government policy or perhaps support from the government would help the situation, or is that just really not going to happen?
Well, absolutely. There's a number of things I think to be mindful of. You know, I hearken back to comments about the experiences that kids were having were such that, you know, we're not optimizing keeping as many kids involved as possible. The structures of how we've organized youth sports are largely competence-based in addition to financially based. And so, you know, if you don't reach the threshold of ability, in addition to reach those threshold of being able to afford it, oftentimes you're discouraged, if not outright prevented, from playing in many sport leagues or for particular teams. But to your point, we should think more strategically at various levels, certainly community and statewide and national, even global. If we recognize that youth sports opportunities, in particular organized youth sports per conversation, can offer some important benefits, including health and well-being. With that in mind, it does make a lot of sense to work together to reduce those costs and to promote and afford more kids with an opportunity, but also a positive environment for staying active and having fun and interacting with other people that allows them to nurture relationships with. And so certainly whatever funding source we talk about, I think there's good reason to share the burden of that cost and not rely on a single family to invest everything that they have, really, in order to promote their child's sport participation.
Chris Knuster, professor of sociology at The Ohio State University on youth sports participation. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Getting ready for more rain and longer nights? We've got you. Right now, you can earn up to $25 in bonus rewards when you buy 2 Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and 2 Rain-X Quantum Elite Wiper Blades. More rewards and better visibility at America's number one lighting destination, AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Offer valid for AutoZone Rewards members. Restrictions apply.
Recent research reveals a disturbing trend. Men who live in rural areas are less healthy and often die earlier than urban men. What are the reasons, and how can this trend be prevented? InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco joins us with the details. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Jack Chappell, postdoctoral scholar at the USC Schaefer Center for Health.